Exactly, you follow that up, but you know, I'm just trying to find new ways. How can I make sure they don't fall asleep before I preach? So, you know, this morning there's a real lesson in this, though, because I think a lot of times it can be so easy to do, but not to do for the right reasons. Do you think I'm right about that? I think it's really easy to do, but to not do for the right reasons. To do, and still things remain undone. I want you to take a look at Matthew chapter 6 this morning, because we're going to get into this idea of secret sacrifices, and I hope and pray that you have seen that these aren't just a bunch of random messages, that we are taking one long message from the Lord Jesus Christ, and while it hits many different topics, it keeps coming back to the same thing. Last week, we talked about humility, about our need to be humble, to recognize who we are and who we are not, and because we recognize that, it changes us. It infuses us with new power because we know we're not doing for us. So this week is really a continuation of last week when we're talking about humility. What do you do? And are you allowing the kingdom of God to be greater than the kingdom of you? Is the kingdom of God greater than the kingdom of you? You say, well, Heath, how in the world could I possibly know that? There's several ways you can know that. Is God at the center of everything you do? Is he at the center of how you love a spouse? Is he at the center of how you do your job? Is he at the center of how you teach Sunday school? Is he at the center of how you give and show care to other people? And that's what we're going to look at today. Take a look, Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. And here's what it says: beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we do not have to rely on our opinion or our best guess, but Father, we thank you that we can open your word and see what you're saying. Our prayer today, God, is that you would allow us to be honest before you as we see an honest picture of who we are. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen. So this morning, we're really talking about real rewards. As we talk about secret sacrifices, one of the big things that comes up to me first is, what are the real rewards? And there's really a wide application here. Different translations say different things. Some say you're giving alms. Some, like here in the English Standard Version, which is the version I use, talks about practicing righteousness. And really, Jesus is talking about something very wide in application, that if you're practicing your righteousness, if you're doing something, do it for God, not for the attention of people. So the question becomes this: what motivates you to serve? You know, I've been saying it since I've been here. It's now been a year since I first came here, and in a year, a lot has happened. I've preached from up there. I've preached from down here. I've gone back and forth. I told you I was going up there. I can't move around enough up there, so I'm down here again. You know, I may be preaching from the top of the piano by year two. I don't know. Whatever. Whatever works best for me, just deal with it. But as we look at it and we say, what motivates you to serve? There are two real reasons you can think of. Number one, some serve to be seen by man. And it happens in the church. I'll never forget going into a business meeting. Y'all know how much I love business meetings. I went to a business meeting in one of my previous churches, and we were really going through everything. It was a smaller church, and we just liked to talk about everything. And I remember we talked about the propane bill. This was about 15 minutes. And we were talking about the propane bill. So we finally get to the end, and basically, long story short, we paid the propane bill. Praise the Lord. The problem was, then someone raised their hand, and I said, yes. Oh, I just want to make sure you know, I got us a lower bill with a propane bill. That would have been a lot higher, but I went down to the propane company and told them we need to have better rates. Okay, thank you. Because, you know, we just deserve better rates. So I went down there, and I made sure that, you know, we got a better rate on our propane, so that's why we didn't have to pay so much this month. Okay. Any other business? I mean, that's where we were. But he wanted so much. He couldn't just, you know, he did something that helped our church. But he couldn't be okay with that just being something that God would bless. He needed me to know. He needed us to know. He needed us to know that the church couldn't survive without him. That's what he needed. And that's how a lot of people can be motivated to serve, by being seen by men. Other people are motivated to serve in this way. They want to honor the sacrifice. Why do I do the things I do? Why have I gone into the ministry and been willing to move places where I don't know people and where sometimes the wind chill gets below zero by 30 degrees? Why would I do that? I pray that I'm doing that to honor the sacrifice of my Lord. That I don't just say, hey, thanks for heaven, Jesus. See you in a lifetime. But instead I say, thank you for what you've done. You get my life. Because you realize eternal life doesn't start when you die, right? Basically, it starts once you say yes to Jesus. You now have eternal life. It's been given to you, so now you start serving him now. You don't wait till heaven. You start right now in this moment. God doesn't save us so we can be nicer people. Okay, you're a Christian, so you need to be nice now. No, that's not why we were saved. We were saved so we could be, as Jesus displayed last week, different. There's supposed to be a difference that should draw people to Christ. And serving, if we're honoring the sacrifice, should lead us to talk about the sacrifice. So someone says, why did you do that? Well, it's like being a nice neighbor. No, why did you do that? Because we want you to know Christ loves you. One of my favorite things I got to do in a previous church is I love college students, I love collegiate ministry, and there was a little college ministry on this commuter campus. And I got to know the director of the Baptist collegiate ministry there, and I said, you know, in what way can our church help you? He said, well, we hand out Pop-Tarts. We go down to the commuter parking, we hand out Pop-Tarts. And we never have enough help and enough Pop-Tarts. So I was like, okay, so we got some people in our church help donate some Pop-Tarts. Now, I have to go on a side note here because you know I can't. Listen, if someone ever asks you to donate Pop-Tarts, donate Pop-Tarts, preferably strawberry with frosting on top. Don't, you know what, sometimes you can go off-brand, okay? And listen, I buy off-brand, but not on Pop-Tarts, people, okay? We had some folks in our church, loved them dearly, brought us some yummy tarts. Yummy tarts. No, they were not. That was false advertising. In fact, I put a few out. We actually had a kid eat one and go, ew. And we took it away. You know why? Because every time we handed out Pop-Tarts, if someone asked us, why are you giving Pop-Tarts? And a lot of kids did. The minister of the collegiate ministry said, I want you to tell them it's just an easy way for us to let you know that Jesus loves you. And you don't want to say that to someone and then give them an unyummy Pop-Tart, okay? So I corrected that kid. I got him a Pop-Tart. But you know, I love that. We weren't just saying, you know, why are you giving Pop-Tarts? Oh, because we want to be nice. We're Christians and we should be nice. No, we want you to know in some little tiny way that we cared enough to get up and come out here and give you something as simple as a Pop-Tart. And I can tell you as a college student, there's sometimes free Pop-Tarts, very helpful. Thank you for the Pop-Tarts, because I didn't have a buck to go to the vending machine. So we're always supposed to be serving to honor the sacrifice. I don't want people to go on mission trip and at the end of the mission trip come home and say, I didn't have a single opportunity to tell anyone about Jesus. You missed the point. The whole point of a mission trip is to go on mission to help people. And we have to be quick to deflect and direct praise when it comes to us. Now, you know, as a church, sometimes we want to thank people when they do a good job. There's nothing wrong with thanking someone. But you need to make sure that you're not the person, you know what, thank you so much for doing that. You did a great job. I really did. That's not what we're supposed to do as Christians. Someone wants to thank you, be gracious. It's okay to receive someone's thanks, but just make sure you're not the person who's like, man, I did do it. I'm going to go on Facebook, tell everybody, you know what? I was told today I did a great job. You know what? They're right. You know, we need less of that. We don't need people having their own publicity campaigns. And Jesus gets into this really specific. Look at verse 2. He says, thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. truly I say, they've received their reward. Now, I did a lot of looking into this because I've heard this a lot, and you know, where's this idea of people blowing trumpets? There's not a lot we can find where specifically we can find instances of people blowing trumpets before they gave, you know, their tithes or their offerings. Now, it's possible. We just can't find any reference to it, but I think there might be two possibilities, and one is very interesting. One possibility is that there were some people who did this. They literally had someone blow a trumpet so they could come up and say, "You're welcome, church. Couldn't survive without me." But what's more interesting is I found this week, because I'm just nerdy enough to like history, and I was really digging in, and I actually found a picture, and I should have put it up here. I'm such a knucklehead sometimes. I found a picture of the money box that the Jews used, and I'd read that it was trumpet-shaped. So, of course, what do I think? I'm thinking like a trumpet, and I'm like, how do you throw money in that? What it was is, if you've ever seen a Jewish shofar, which is like the trumpet, it was made out of a ram's horn, very long, and they would blow it. You basically had at the top of the money box two of these shofar-shaped trumpet things coming up out of it. So if you walked up to drop your money in, you have to remember they weren't folding, you know, hundreds and stuff. Most of it was, you know, coinage. You could go up there and you could drop that very discreetly. Much like I think probably the widow did that Jesus mentions, who comes and drops such a small portion. I think she came and she dropped it was nothing. But there was a way you could drop that in the money box and make a whole lot of noise, that would actually funnel the noise up out of it. You say, well, I can't imagine what that would be like. It would be like this. Maybe this never happened to you, but I always like to show that I was better than other people, and I'm not. But were you ever a kid taking a quiz, and you got done first, and so you took that pencil? Okay, I saw a couple people do it. You took that pencil and... Oh, you're still taking the... I'm just done because it was so easy. You know, and there's just this idea of just, man, just want everyone to know that, you know, that quiz was nothing for me. And that's the same thing. Someone who's coming and taking money and throwing it down in there, it's really nothing. They could throw in $1 million. And if they're doing it trying to make noise and get the praise and admiration of people, it's really nothing. It's nothing. I have said it, and I absolutely mean it. If you find yourself the offering plate going by you, and your offering's like this in your hand, and then just keep it. And I'm serious, because that's what the Bible says. If you're not giving out of a grateful heart, if you're not giving to honor the sacrifice, then keep it until your heart is there. Because we don't want people just doing. You might say, well, that's really weird. Don't we need money to run things for the church? We do, but do we want people just, let's take an example. Let's just throw someone in Sunday school. Let's say they go and they're a Sunday school teacher, but they hate it. Man, I don't really like it, but I'm going to do it. Well, they're there. Isn't that good enough? No. I'd rather we combined all the Sunday school classes under one person if that's the problem we ran into. Whether you're giving of your money or giving of your time or giving in any way, you have to do it because God's led you to do it, and not because Pastor Heath made you feel guilty. You do what God is leading you to do, what God is telling you to do. And he says that these people are hypocrites. It comes from a word that they would have known. It's a word that represented an actor on the stage, someone who would act under an assumed character, someone who's up there for people on the audience to all go, man, that's a great actor. That's what they're becoming. When you serve or you give or you do and you don't do it to honor the sacrifice, then there's only one other reason you can do it. You're looking for an audience. And if you're looking for an audience, you best just not do it. A great example of this, I've got a picture up on the screen. One picture I did not share. This happened twice, and it's a great picture to me. There are oftentimes soldiers coming on planes, and people oftentimes show so much graciousness to soldiers on planes. I think that's wonderful. Amy Adams is a pretty famous actress. She's in movies that my daughters have enjoyed. And Amy Adams, you know, famous actress, was sitting in first class. She noticed a soldier who was going to be getting on her flight. So she discreetly took her ticket and got it exchanged with that soldier, went to the ticket desk, got it exchanged, and she sat back in his seat and coach, and he got her first class ticket. No one would have known about it except there was a reporter who happened to be on the plane and noticed that this happened, saw someone famous and saw them sitting in coach, and figured out pretty soon that something was wrong here. So they asked her about it, and you know, they wanted to make it a big story. And she said, listen, I grew up in a military family. My dad was in the military. I know how hard they work. I just wanted to bless them. That's it. That's a perfect picture. This picture was posted by a professional football player. He's sitting in the lobby. He sees a service member. So he takes a picture of the service member, a picture of his ticket, puts it on Twitter, and says, hey, everybody, guess what I'm getting ready to do? I see a soldier over here. I'm going to give him my ticket. Well, okay. But couldn't you just be a blessing without us all having to bless you too? Couldn't it just be okay that you just did something nice for somebody? Now, I don't know if that person's a Christian or not, but for us, there's a real application. As a believer, do we do it so we can be seen, or do we do it so that person might be drawn closer to our Savior? Because that must be our motivation. And he says there that those people, look at the end of verse 2, truly I say to you, they have received their reward. Literally, it means they've received their reward in full. There's nothing else for them. There are no heavenly rewards for selfish service. What is every college student's favorite answer when they are getting ready to take a test and they say, is there partial credit? If I get like half of this right, do I get a zero or do I get like half the points? Like when a professor said, okay, you get partial credit, I was like, all right, partial credit saved my skin in chemistry 15 as a freshman at Mizzou. So thankful for partial credit. There is no partial credit if you are serving selfishly, where you got some attention from man, but you know God's going to give you a little something one day too. As I thought about this week, I think the easy application is if you want man's applause, don't expect heaven's. Because that's what you get. If you want man's applause, don't expect heaven's. But if you want heaven's applause, you know why it's tough? Because you got to wait. But you know what? It's going to be worth the wait. Because remember, this life that you and I live compared to eternity. And you realize it's an easy wait. That God will reward me. We keep looking here because we're looking at these secret sacrifices. Look at verses 3 and 4 again. So he's talked about this, and he's talking about secret sacrifices. Look at verse 3 and 4. He's saying, don't be like those people, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret may reward you. Now, how do we give in secret? And how secret does it have to be? You know, for me, for a long time, when we give, and you know, I've told you before, whenever I give, my check that I write for my offering is the first check that I write, and we take that and I give that to one of my kids. Now, part of that is practical because I'm never down here when the offering goes by. But even when I used to be, you know, we just wanted our kids to see, you know, that we're giving this. This is a family offering. This isn't just mom and dad's offering. This is our family. We're giving. I wanted them to see that. So there's a difference between trying to get attention and teaching. There's a difference there. And so we looked at that and said, okay, this is something, because it's not about the method, it's about your motives. It's not about, well, you know, my kids are seeing me give, you know, am I not supposed to let my kids see? Because I really thought about this week when he says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And I'm like, how do you do that? I mean, I'm trying to think practically. How do you not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing? And I really struggled with this, and I said, How can I demonstrate this in a way that maybe we might think about it? So, you know, I spent probably way too much time thinking about this. But, you know, Jesus said it, so I want to understand it. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. Now, for most of us, our right hand is our dominant hand, unless you're one of those highly intelligent people who's left-handed. I'm not left-handed, so I throw that out there so that way I've got all bases covered. Either you're in the majority or you're just special. All right, so we go through all this, and I was thinking about this. I was thinking about using a cup. You know, as an adult, if I want a drink from a cup, I reach over, I grab it with one hand, take a drink, there we go. That's it. But think about when a child uses a cup. I never see a child, you know, 2 or 3 year old just reach over, yeah, that's great. No, what do they do? It's this whole big production, right? because, you know, they're unsteady, they're not sure what they're doing, and there's, you know, they're still maturing, they're still getting stronger, you know, stronger mentally, stronger physically. And you know what? I think that's a perfect example for us. When you give, it should be a natural thing. Don't make it a production. Do it because you love God, not for the attention. And you know what? I don't need another hand to come in. So if I start making a bigger deal out of it, you know, and I'll just be honest, I've seen everything when it comes to how we give, like give financially. I've seen it all. I mean, I've seen the person who likes to take their offering and lay it out and make sure it's very clear that you can see what it is. I've seen the person who likes to wait till, you know, everyone's gone through and they, oh. I mean, I've seen that in church. That's just crazy. I mean, I've seen it all. And the point is, whatever you're doing, do it for God. Probably whatever you hope people are thinking about you, they're probably not anyway. They're probably thinking, what a jerk. I mean, I don't know what people are thinking. But you know, a lot of times what we hope we're going to get is oftentimes not what we get. And so we think about this idea of giving, it comes down to what does God really want in our giving? He just wants us to give because we love Him and not because we might be loved by other people. That's what it comes down to. So don't make a production out of it, just make it happen. Don't make a production, just make it happen. Because that's what we need. And giving secretly is also very important for a couple reasons, because he is here bringing up giving to the needy. And this is important because people ask me all the time, you know, how do I give? You know, what if I give it to them and they're just going to waste it on liquor or drugs? I don't know. Should I give them anything? But, you know, Jesus tells me I should give. Last week we saw someone asks, you should give. I mean, how do I do this? What am I supposed to do? What is my responsibility as a Christian? This is where secretly giving comes into this in a big way. Because number one, if you give in secret, you allow a person to remain a person and not just be treated as a situation. I do not like it when, as a church, if we have a need that somebody brings, that it becomes a situation and we forget that there's a person involved. Because listen, I've lived in abject poverty, and I've told you this before. I mean, one of the houses I grew up in, I thought we had a fancy front door until I found out it was just the door off of an ice box. That was our front door at one of the homes I lived in. So I've lived in poverty. I know what it's like. And listen, sometimes when you know you need something, it's not a great feeling to have to go ask. It's not a great feeling to have someone give you something. You know what? Sometimes for us, we're thinking, oh, look, you know, I'm blessing them. I'm giving them something they need. But I can tell you, it's kind of embarrassing. It hurts because you want to do things. You want to take care of things. We have to treat people like people. And we need to treat those people that are in need like we love them, and not because we're just doing something. In a couple weeks, you're going to learn a little bit more about Love, Inc. Love, Inc. is a ministry here in Rockford that helps us a great deal as a church. Love, Inc. helps us that when someone comes to us and they have a need, we don't just give something directly. Love, Inc. does a really neat job of saying, you know what? There's more available to you than just money. Because listen, for years and years, it always bothered me. Our churches would just give money to people and then we'd never see them again. And I felt like we're missing something. I mean, are these people learning what situation put them where they are? Are they learning that there's someone who loves them, that there's a reason we gave, not just because we're a church, but we gave because we love you? I mean, these are the things we want people to understand in our giving. So in a couple weeks, you'll hear a little bit about that. They're going to share that briefly in one of our services because I want you to know how they benefit us as a church family. But another reason it's so important to give in secret is not only does it allow that person to remain a person and not just be a situation, but it also allows that person to trust our motives and be open to Jesus. Because if they realize we're doing it just so we can feel good about ourselves, that's not making them feel good about the situation. We have to make a big deal of our God, not of our gift. And it's easy to make a big deal out of what we've given and to make a small deal out of our God. And I tell you, yes, I know, it can be tough because some of you have given to somebody before and you've gotten burned by it. You gave to somebody, you tried to do the Christian thing, it didn't work out. Had this young man come to our church where we were living at, and said he was hungry, and you know, he looked like he probably was. And our church secretary said, I was still fairly new to the church, our church secretary said, we've helped this guy a lot. I said, well, what have we helped him with? Well, we've given him food. Have we told him anything? We've told him he can come back if he needs more food. So he came and he said, hey, would you give me $20? I said, no. I said, I'll take you to lunch. You want to go to lunch? Okay. So we get in the car, we drive down there, I buy him lunch, and we're talking. And so I start telling him about Jesus. And he starts saying, you know, I need to do that. I need to make that decision. So I said, well, you can do it right here. So I lead him in a prayer and talk to him about Christ, and he prays a prayer, and he says he accepts and he believes it. And I said, you know what you need now? You need a job. You don't have a job, you need a job. There's a job center just down the road. Tell you what, you come here Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, I'll meet you here, and I'll drive you down there because I know you don't have money for the bus fare. I'll drive you down there. I got up, I go down there, he never showed up. And my pastor told me, he said, I hope that that wouldn't happen to you. I was afraid it might happen to you, and I'm sorry that happened to you, Heath. And you know what? It broke my heart. But you know what? I know what the motive was. And it shouldn't stop you from trying to care and trying to bless people, because then had another situation with William, who'd come around and ask for gas all the time, so I'd go down and buy him gas and try to talk to him, and just, he wouldn't listen. Sometimes we'd say, why do we keep doing this? Well, he keeps coming. Why not try? And then one day, William got arrested for drugs. Went down to prison. I went down. I shared the gospel with him through the telephones, the whole nine yards. He not only accepted Christ, but, I mean, was gloriously saved. He would write me letters from jail that were like reading Paul in Philippians. And then one day, I got a call from William. I'd moved. I was in a new church. I got a call from William. He said, Heath, I want you to know, I've been working landscaping. I've almost got my own business, and I want to pay you back. I said, well, there's two things. Number one, it wasn't my money. Our church did it. And number two, find someone else that you can do that for right there. Now, that was worth it. You know what? Some people, you'll give to them, you'll try to tell them about God, and they won't listen. But that shouldn't stop you from trying again. I'm so thankful that William listened and that he not only gave his life to Christ, but he really wanted to do something. Isn't that really the mark that someone's been saved? Not that they want to pay you back, but they feel some motivation. Okay, I should do something now. Christ has saved me. What can I do for him? If you're going to do for God, be okay to be blessed by God. Don't look for how you can be blessed by people. Don't do things in order that you can be held out. Because listen, God's blessings really aren't attributed to a single act anyway. They're attributed to a lifestyle. You live this lifestyle for Christ, Christ blesses that. It's not, oh, well, you're in heaven today, and now we're going to go through, you know, you helped that lady cross the street. All right, here's a bless. I mean, it's about this lifestyle. Yes, the Bible does say that we're going to give an account for everything that was done within the flesh, whether good or bad. But ultimately, the blessings that come from God aren't, well, on this day you did this, so here's this. Up, the next day you did bad, I got to take that back. It's not this constant thing. It's this entirety of our lives. How we served our Savior. Did we serve our Savior? The question is simply this. Number one, do you serve? If you're a member here at First Baptist Church, I would ask you that question. Do you serve? Are you finding a way that you can truly be a blessing to our church family? The blessing for our church is not having a higher worship attendance. That does not bother me in the least. The blessing to our church is when we're a part of it and we're serving. And let me tell you, when you're serving, it changes everything. I mean, I was going to church when I was in college, but I firmly believe that God was able to call me into the ministry because I was in a church and I started to serve. I started teaching, you know, young boys Sunday school and helping out in vacation Bible school. And then my heart just became more and more open. What does God want me to do next? What does God want me to do next? Because that's what it is. It's not this one-time thing. It's, okay, I did this. What does God want me to do next? So do you serve? And let me ask you, how do you serve? Are you serving because you're feeling guilted into it? If so, I'm not telling you to quit. I'm telling you to change your heart. That's the great thing about being a Christian. You don't say, well, I kind of have an anger problem, so I'm just going to have to just get away from everybody because I'm angry. No. The Bible says change your heart. You have the opportunity, you have the power, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Allow him to make the change. Don't say, well, this is just how I am and I can't be any different. If that were true, then why did Jesus die to save you? Because he died so that the old would be gone and we would be a what? New creation. Brand new, different, not like we used to be. And finally, who do you serve? You can be in our church, you can be serving, and you can stand before God one day and Jesus say, I never knew you. Why? Because it's not about doing in order to impress man or to impress God. It's about doing because we love God. We are honoring the sacrifice that was made. And this morning, if you have never given your life to Jesus, then your service is meaningless. Whatever you do at our church, if you don't belong to Jesus, you are serving in a meaningless way, and you can change it. If you know that your sin has not been pardoned because you've never asked God to pardon you for your sin, you can do it today. That's the wonderful thing about our God. If you've been serving, you'd say, you know what, I haven't been serving with the right heart. Guess what? You can do it today. If you say, I've been a part of our church and I haven't been serving, you can do it today. Praise God that we don't have to just be stuck where we were, but now we can do something different. And I say, praise God. Miss Bob, if you come forward, at this time we're going to enter into a time of just prayer and response. Nobody's singing. Just a time that if God has laid some decision on your heart, you know you need to give your life to Jesus, this time is for you. You know you need to commit to serve, this time is for you. Whatever God is laying on your heart, this is your opportunity. Let's all stand together as we enter into a time of prayer. And you feel free, if you want to make that decision right there in your seat, you just pray right there where you are. But if you need to talk to someone about what it is to be saved, what it is to serve, I encourage you, come right down here in the front. Let me visit with you. Let me talk to you. But let us all at this time be in prayer for whatever God has laid on our hearts and what God has laid on the hearts of the people around us. But this is a time of simply response and prayer.